Hi, welcome to Big Fat Positive with Shauna and Laura. On this week's episode, we have our weekly check-ins. We have our special segment, They Said What?, where we talk about social commentary from strangers and fiery thoughts from toddlers. And we wrap it up with our weekly BFPs and BFNs. Let's get to it. Hey, everyone. Welcome to episode 173. Hi, Laura.
Hi, Shauna.
How are you guys? What's been going on in your world this week?
Oh, busy week. Okay, so Augie is 2 years and 8 months, and Sebastian is 7 months. And the big news with the baby this week is we have decided to start nap training this week.
Oh, okay. So you were not doing that before.
No. So, you know, the sleep training method that I used for Augie, I'm using for Sebastian, and it recommends that you like make sure you have nights totally down and totally like perfect before you even start nap training.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we were going off of. So I've been basically like rocking or boobing the baby to sleep for his naps only. But we've gone at least 2 weeks. Like, I think it's actually been almost a month basically that we've been sleep trained at night without any problems. Like, we've definitely had 14 solid nights of like no night wake ups and everything's fine. So I thought it was probably time to move on to nap training, because I was getting really sick of the whole like having to rock him to sleep and it takes forever, and then you try to put him down and he wakes up, so you end up with contact naps, which, to be fair, I love. Like, I really love the snuggles and I'm enjoying them, but like, I do need to like get shit done. And we get lots of snuggles other times. And I thought it would really benefit all of us to get nap training down. And it was not hard at all.
Oh, good. Well, he's used to the routine for bedtime, so it's not completely new to him.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, it was like the same thing with night sleep training, where he was like, thank God, I'm so sick of you guys trying to rock me to sleep. Just let me go. Like, put me in the crib. So, like, yeah, we didn't really have to do, quote unquote, nap training. We just kind of put him in the crib awake now, and he goes to sleep. So, yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Well, that's easy.
Yeah, it was easy. I mean, he still has kind of short-ish naps. Like, he's kind of a 40-minute napper. Occasionally, we'll get two sleep cycles in, so we'll get, you know, an hour and 20 minutes, but he's a bit of a short napper. But not short enough to, like, make him cry and go back to sleep, you know? Like, if it was a 15 or 20-minute nap, maybe. But, like, a 40-minute nap, it's, you know, he's up at that point. So the real problem is that we're kind of now in this in-between phase of, like, whether we're on three or two naps. Like, and that's the real issue. Because, like, his wake windows are about 3 hours. So if he only does two naps, he's, like, awake for a really long time in the evening, or goes to bed really early, and that screws up the whole schedule. But if he does three naps, then he's, like, awake super late. And it's just, I think it's just we're in this little limbo phase where we have to sort of get through it. Like, there's no real way out but through it.
So, yes.
I have to say, though, I am really looking forward to being on two naps, because it makes planning so much easier.
Sure. Yeah.
Like, I don't know if you remember, three naps, it's like you can't get anything done during the wake windows. You know what I mean? Like, if you want to go out with the kid, it's like, oh, well, I got to get back. His wake window is 2 to 3 hours. And like, that's barely enough time to load the kid up, get him out the door, go do something and come back. So two naps, I feel like, is much more manageable. We can get into a routine. I can kind of like predict about when he's going to be napping every day. It's not so all over the place. So I'm definitely looking forward to that. So hopefully soon.
Good. That'll be great.
Yeah. And then the other check-in about the baby is that we went to another helmet appointment.
Ooh. Okay. How did that go?
Yeah. So as people know, he's been wearing a Starband helmet for treating his plagiocephaly, which is his like flattening on one side of his head. And we started at 12.7, I think, millimeters of asymmetry at the very beginning. And they treat above 6. So he was like double what my insurance at least starts considering like medical necessity. And at this appointment, he was down to like 3.4 or something. I don't actually remember the point number,
good.
But he is getting real, real symmetrical.
He's got a little bowling ball up there.
I know. It's very obvious. Like, when you take his helmet off, it's like, oh, okay, your head is very round now. Like, it looks quote unquote normal, for lack of a better word. And you definitely, like, if you saw his head now, you would never, like, think, oh, maybe we should get the kid a helmet. You know what I mean? Like, the way his head is now, if it was like this from the beginning, like, no one would have ever even suggested it. So now the question is, like, how much longer are we in the helmet? This is where we were, I think, a month ago when we went to our helmet appointment.
Right.
And so for now, the plan is to, like, come back in 3 weeks and see how it's going. But, like, if it starts to not fit him right or if he's not liking it, we can take it off because got correction. Like, as the person who, the orthotist who does his helmet appointments, like, who's in charge of it, said, like, first of all, it's not life support, right? So you can take it off anytime you need to. And second of all, like, it's a tool that you have that works right now. In a couple months, it won't work. And if you take it off and leave it off, it won't work. And you can decide whether or not to use that tool. You don't have to. But if you keep using it, it will continue to show benefits. So because he doesn't mind it, we're just going to leave it on and sort of play it by ear. But yeah, I mean, I think, you know, in a couple of weeks, we might be heading to the end of our helmet journey.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's the end of an era, almost.
It will be.
You know, his new measurement of being asymmetrical a few millimeters, but still looking like so great and perfect, like makes me want to assess my own head. Like, how asymmetrical is my head, I wonder?
Probably a lot. Like, that's the thing. As adults, like, no one even pays attention to the shape of your head. Like, we're not looking down on it like we look on babies' heads, and we have hair, most of us, you know, that covers it. So, yeah, I think most adults, like, have some level of asymmetry or flattening on the back, and we just don't notice. Like, having a perfectly round 0 millimeter asymmetry is not something that we're aiming for, right? Progress, not perfection. But I mean, I could ask the guy if you could stick your head in his scanner.
I don't know if I want to go to that much trouble. If I could just, like, wrap a measuring tape around it and find out, that would be into it.
Well, next time we're together, I'll take a good look and see what I can
see. Okay, yeah, you're an expert now.
So, yeah, so that's what's going on there. And actually, one check-in I have this week is related to that, which is we had a special visitor to my helmet appointment this week, which was Grandma Susan came and visited and got to go to the helmet appointment, which she and the orthotist were, like, nerding out about differences in human anatomy and, like, all the different things that she sees in her practice and he sees in her practice. And they were, like, bringing out textbooks of human anatomy and talking to each other.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. Meanwhile, me and Sebastian are just like, hey, guys, so
we're here.
But yeah, she didn't come down just for that. She actually came down because next week we're going up to Fresno together. Like, she's going to accompany me on a trip to Fresno with just the baby, just Sebastian, because I'm actually going up to visit my dad next week. But that's a whole other thing. And we'll have to check in on that next week because I'm super curious how it's going to go because I'm planning on leaving Augie behind with Corey.
Oh.
Which will be a first. So that's why she came down. But she came down a couple days early so that she could just hang out and see Augie and all that stuff. And it's been very fun. We took a little, like, hour road trip out to Claremont to visit my niece who just started at one of the Claremont colleges. And that was very fun. And went out to dinner. And Augie, my God. Like, Augie at a sit-down dinner is difficult right now.
Yeah, I would imagine.
We went to this, like, outdoor restaurant out in Claremont, and it was lovely. And I had to be that mom who had Blippi playing on her phone the whole time because he just would not sit still. And he didn't want to sit in the high chair, so he sat on a chair. But then he did want to sit on a high chair, so then he sat in the high chair. You know, it was, like, back and forth. It was, he ended up eating, like, a pouch and garlic bread, I think, for dinner. And I was just whatever. Meanwhile, we're at this outdoor restaurant and it's, like, paved with little pebbles. So he wants to go and, like, pick up all the pebbles and throw them while other people are dining.
No.
And I'm trying. It was a whole thing. So that was stressful. I'm definitely, like, not that interested in going to restaurants with the kids these days so much. It does. I like going with the baby. The baby's fine. The baby sits there in the side chair and just like doesn't make problems. But I was so worried that other people at the restaurant were going to be so pissed off because like,
yeah,
you had Blippi playing. You could hear it. I mean, it was quiet, but still you had him throwing rocks. I don't know. I don't know how people mm-hmm. do it. How do people do it?
It's a lot. I don't know. I have not taken the girls out to eat very much for similar reasons. I remember going to a breakfast joint once when Elle was about that age. Mm-hmm. And she was just like standing up in the booth, crawling all over us. She's so friendly mm-hmm. To the point of irritation, right? She just has to like turn around and look at every person like at the booth. You know, the person's mm-hmm. head is like 2 inches away, basically. And she's like yeah. sticking her head there. She's like, hi, hi. And they're like, you know, they're not into really talking to a kid. Some people like it, but a lot of people don't. And mm-hmm. I just remember being so stressed out that entire meal. I couldn't even enjoy myself. I was kind mm-hmm. of like, well, I don't think we'll do this very often anymore.
Yeah, it kind of sucks, but I don't really see a solution other than Blippi on my phone.
mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it was nice to visit my niece. And Augie really loved walking around the campus. Like he was like, what is a dorm? Can I see her dorm?
Oh, that's cool.
I was like, do you want to go to college someday? He's like, uh-huh. I want to live in a dorm. I was like, okay.
That's cute.
It was cute. And then one other thing I wanted to check in on, and this is my last little check-in, is this episode is airing the week of Halloween.
Oh, right.
So this is appropriate because right now, Augie is suddenly obsessed with the concept of spooky. Like, mm-hmm. what's spooky? Like, and he wants me to like enumerate the different things that are spooky. Like, he's very much getting into the Halloween spirit. So I wanted to play a voice memo of him talking to me about what's spooky.
Can oh, okay.
do that? Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, what's the question?
What's spooky?
What's spooky? Let's see. What is spooky? We have our pumpkins spooky, or ghosts. What else is spooky?
Oh, I shot. Bats are spooky.
Bats are spooky. Yeah.
What else is spooky, Mama?
What else is spooky? What about skeletons? Are they spooky? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Spooky.
Spooky.
They're spooky, too.
Yeah.
October.
October, yeah. What is the holiday where we celebrate all the spooky things? What's it called?
Halloween.
It's
spooky season.
It's spooky season, that's right.
That is so cute. And I love the word spooky because it indicates that something is like kind of scary, right? Has a scary edge to it, but you don't use the word scary with a kid, mm-hmm. which has like a more terrifying connotation. Like just calling Halloween decorations spooky is so perfect because they're going to see them around during the Halloween season. Mm-hmm. But I don't want Cece to be scared of like skeletons and stuff. So it's like, oh, it's spooky. It's like so great.
Yeah. And I've been doing things like where I'm like, oh, those are friendly skeletons and those are friendly ghosts. Although he did ask me like, what's a cemetery? And I was like, I was like, it's a place where people go.
Yeah.
Which is not a lie.
Oh, it's not. Oh, man. Elle asked me that the other day, too. We were reading something Halloween related. And I was just like, oh, when people die, that's where their bodies go. She's like, why? Oh, it's just, yeah. Those things you don't realize that you've got to explain to your kids mm-hmm. at some point and kind of catch you off guard.
Yeah, but I'm thinking I do need to get some Halloween decorations. I know you went a little over the top at the dollar store, right?
Oh, my God. I spent probably like $75 at the dollar store. Mind you, so we're spooked out over here. We've got so many. We decorated, like middle of September, I think, because the kids were so excited about it.
Yeah, so I need to do that. We have a dollar store near us, so I'm going to go do that so we can get things spooky around here. But that's about it for us this week. How about you? What's going on with you and your girls?
Well, we are also getting ready for Halloween. Speaking of which, we already have the girls' costumes.
Oh my God, you're so far advanced.
Yeah, so my thing is, let's just look on Amazon and see what's available. And if I do it in advance, less likely things will be sold out anyway. Mm-hmm. So I sat down with the girls on the couch and we were looking through things, costumes, and Elle was just kind of navigating around and looking for stuff and found a costume she is so excited about. I got to show you a picture of this.
Yes.
Okay. I don't have a picture of her in it yet, so I'm going to send you the picture from Amazon so you can see what she ordered.
Is this like a you can't see the bride in her wedding dress before the wedding thing anyway?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, my God.
Isn't that amazing?
Okay, I am looking at something that's called a snow leopard costume, and it is a full body onesie situation with gloves and booties and a full like head piece with ears and a mask of just black and white snow leopard costume. I mean, it could be a Dalmatian costume too, let's be honest.
Yeah, it could. Yeah, she's into it being a snow leopard. We were looking at all of the variety of this one. There's a cheetah, a regular leopard, a jaguar, a snow leopard. She chose snow leopard. And this is like leotard body tight. Mm-hmm. This is not like a fluffy, jammy onesie. It's like leotard tight, full body, head, everything. And it's just, it's great. She loves it so much. She put it on like the second it arrived and it's like, you know how she's so into being dogs and cats, mm-hmm. right? This is perfect for her. She's like leaping around the house in this thing, and I've never seen her in her element and just her true self just shining in this costume. Yeah, it's really awesome. Although I think she wants to wear it to school, like if there's a costume day, and I'm kind of like, I don't know if they're going to let you wear that. I don't know, with the face covering and everything. I don't know how that's going to go.
I mean, you wear a mask anyway to school.
That's true. That's like, true.
What are they going to say? Like, you can wear one mask but not another?
Yeah, that's a good point. And then here is Cece, what she got. All right, here's an actual picture of Cece in her new costume.
Aw, is she Clifford?
Clifford, the big red dog. She explains it that way every time. Oh. Clifford, the big red dog.
She's Clifford, the little red Cece. Aw, she looks so cute in her costume.
I know, so cute. That's the one she picked after looking through everything. She originally told me she wanted to be a dog. So we were just looking up dog costumes. And then she saw the Clifford one and was like, Clifford, 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 the big red dog. And so that's the one we ordered. And so, yeah, they're set. And then they chose my outfit, too. Elle found a butterfly costume for me. So I'm going to be a butterfly. And
oh, fun.
We are set.
Well, I know what we're going to be. And
what?
We're going to be, you want to take a really, like, wild guess?
Star Wars characters.
Yes, Star Wars characters. So
okay.
Augie wants to be Luke Skywalker. Corey gets to be Han Solo. I get to be Princess Leia. And Sebastian gets to be Baby Yoda, which Corey is like, every time Augie brings that up, he's like, well, it doesn't really work that way because Baby Yoda wasn't in the first trilogy, but okay, fine.
Oh my God. Bend the rules, Dad. Come on.
Yeah, this is how you know he loves Augie, because he's going along with it.
Oh my God.
But now I'm like, I got to order. I was like going to DIY them, but now I'm like, shit, I just got to order these or else they're all going to be sold out and we're going to be fucked. So, okay.
Yeah. Get on it. Get on it.
Well, you've inspired me. This is very exciting.
So my other check-in this week is about Cece. And, you know, I mentioned in a previous episode that we had her all signed up for co-op preschool and was ready to go. And then we got cold feet and decided to hold off on going to preschool. So she has not been in preschool. She's been home with us. But I wanted to get her into something that she could do that maybe wasn't like 4 or 5 hours a day where she had to keep her mask on by herself and everything. So I found a Mommy and Me class for 2 to 4-year-olds in the area. It's like once a week and I go with her. And It's an hour and a half at this little, like, it's like in a little preschool classroom. They have a really nice outdoor area with a play structure and tons of toys and everything. And I was like, okay, that'll be a good transition. I can be with her. I can, like, make sure she's got her mask on right and whatever. And it'll give her an opportunity to interact with other kids and everything. And so I have told her that this is preschool because I was spending all summer telling her that she was going to start preschool, right? And she was getting so excited about preschool. And then we just decided not to do it. And she didn't ever realize that we, you know, didn't do it. But I think somewhere in her mind, she was probably like, well, when's my preschool going to start? And she's in school at home a lot and just really into the idea. And so I'm like, okay, we're starting preschool. And she's like, preschool, preschool. Her first day, we went this week to preschool and she loved it. She walked in like she owned this classroom, like zero fear. I probably could have dropped her off and left and it probably would have been fine. She was just so into all the different toys. I wish she was into the other kids, but not so much. She's just really into all the different toys and activities and painting and all of that stuff. But it was just nice to be in an environment with other children and parents, like the teacher, you know, talks about parenting issues with the parents while the kids play and stuff. And it's just been like a nice, cute little thing for us to do since we had that disappointment of preschool.
I'm so glad because, as you know, I'm a huge fan of Mommy and Me classes. And I think that this is a great idea. So I'm glad you're doing something. And I'm fully behind lying to her and telling her it's preschool. What does she know?
She doesn't. And it really feels like it. Like it is a legitimate classroom. Mm-hmm. And it really feels like it. We sing songs and do art and play and et cetera. It's really sweet. At the end of class, before we leave, they play this song. It's so sweet. We pick up our kids. I pick up Cece, definitely, and hug her. And the song plays and it's just like, I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you, I love you, I do, or something like that. And the whole like 4 minute song is just lyrics about, I love you. I'm so glad you're part of my life. I can't tell you how much I love you. And I just held her and she held me and like we snuggled and it was the sweetest thing ever. Can't wait to do it again next week.
Oh, that's so sweet. I'm so glad you found that.
Yeah, me too. And hopefully we will be back in a real preschool sooner rather than later because I'm also looking forward to giving her that experience too.
Yes, fingers crossed.
Yeah. But yeah, so that's us this week. Should we move on to our special segment?
I think we should.
Laura, we recently had our moms on the show and it was so fun hearing their stories from the past.
I loved hearing what they had to share about their experiences being pregnant and having young kids. But you know they have so many more amazing memories and stories to share.
Yes, and that's why Storyworth is such a wonderful gift for the mother figure in your life. It's a way to capture those stories and memories for years to come.
And what better time to give Storyworth than for Mother's Day, which is right around the corner. Right now, our listeners can save $10 off your first purchase by going to storyworth.com/BFP.
Here's how it works. Each week, Storyworth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick, such as, what is your favorite memory of your parents?
All your loved one needs to do is respond to that email with a story. Long or short, it doesn't matter.
You'll be emailed a copy of your loved one's response as they're submitted over the course of the year. You'll get to enjoy their retelling of the stories you already know or be surprised by stories you've never heard before.
After that year of fun, Storyworth compiles your loved one's stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you'll be able to share and revisit for generations to come.
I gifted Storyworth to my mom a couple years ago, and her hardcover book is a special memento on my bookshelf that my girls and I love to look through.
My mom did one too and included lots of pictures from her childhood, which Sebastian and Augie love looking at.
Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years. Storyworth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/BFP.
That's storyworth.com/BFP to save $10 on your first purchase. There's nothing like the feeling of being confident in your own skin. No complicated routine, no multiple step protocols, just simple, scientifically validated solutions.
Absolutely. That's why we have to tell you about today's sponsor, OneSkin. Their products make it easy to keep your skin healthy while looking and feeling your best.
The secret to OneSkin's success is their proprietary OS1 peptide, which switches off the aging cells and has been clinically proven to strengthen the skin barrier and improve skin health markers.
For a limited time, our listeners will get an exclusive 15% off OneSkin products using the code BFP when you check out at OneSkin.co.
One of my favorite things about OneSkin products is how easy they are to use. I swear, I've seen skin routines with like 20 steps, but not OneSkin. Just cleanse, pat your skin dry, and apply twice daily.
We aren't the only ones who love OneSkin. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews, and were recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands in 2024.
OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer.
My skin tends to get really irritated this time of year, but since using the OneSkin face supplement every day, my skin feels calm and healthy. I've also been using the eye topical supplement, which I really feel brightens up my face.
Get started today with 15% off using code BFP at oneskin.co.
That's 15% off oneskin.co with code BFP. After your purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you.
Okay, I will be the first to admit that I don't always prioritize my own wellness. With kids and work, it never feels easy to fit in taking care of myself. But with Allo Moves, I find it easier than ever to do so.
Same. With the Allo Moves app, everything I need is in one place. Yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, mindfulness, and so much more.
If you're curious what Allo Moves has to offer, visit allomoves.com and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and 20% off an annual membership.
I love that I can easily find a class that's perfectly suited to my interests and ability level. They offer classes from beginner to advanced, and all classes are on demand, so you can fit them into your busy schedule.
They have high-intensity classes if you're looking to get in a good sweat, and low-key mindfulness classes if you're looking to get centered. They even offer help with sleep, which we all know is crucial for moms.
Ever since I watched The Art of Sleep on Allo Moves, I've been falling asleep faster and staying asleep longer.
One thing I really like about Allo Moves is that they create themed playlists, so it's easy to find content on the areas you're interested in. One of my favorite playlists right now is called Meditation for Productivity.
Ooh, I love the sound of that one. Unlock your personal wellness routine with Allo Moves. Go to allomoves.com now and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership.
That's allomoves.com, code BFP. allomoves.com, code BFP. Okay, we are back, and our special segment this week is They Said What, where we discuss all the wacky things people have said to us, maybe offensive, maybe funny, about pregnancy, parenting, and in between. And Shauna, you're up first. Do you have a They Said What for us?
I do. You know, it's amazing. We've been doing this segment for 3 years, Laura. Maybe a little bit more than 3 years, and we're never at a loss for what people say to us. We, you know, sometimes it's funny little things like our own kids and stuff, but it just amazes me.
Yeah, I mean, even during the pandemic, it was a little bit hard to find things people said to us considering we never saw people.
Yeah, true.
But still, this is like a original segment of ours, right? I feel like this is one of our very first. Yeah.
Yep, sure was.
But let's stop reminiscing. Let's talk about now and what someone said to you.
So speaking of the pandemic, this happened during that special little few weeks in the summer when cases were really down and we'd all gotten our vaccines and we were out and about. Like, we left the house finally for a year and a half. And sure enough, someone had to say something to me in that like little twilight moment of time. So you may recall, I talked about it on the podcast. In June, I think my family went to Redondo Beach for a weekend at a beach house, and we spent a lot of time down at the beach and stuff, right?
It was your birthday weekend, right?
Yeah. Oh, it was such a good weekend. It was so fun. So one of the first days we were there, it was a weekday. Steve had to work, actually, and my mom was busy, and I decided to take the girls down to the beach all by myself. And that included a lot of equipment. I had like a beach wagon that I had purchased from Target, and it was loaded up with sand toys, beach tent, chairs, cooler, everything, right? So much stuff. And I had Elle, who's 5, and CC, who's 2.5. And we're just like walking to the 2 blocks down to the beach. And then...
Still, I want to say, this is a very brave thing you're doing. Taking 2 kids solo to the beach. My God.
I know. I don't know what I was thinking. We couldn't just walk to the sand. Like, the street was up like a bunch of steps, right? We had to go down like this stairwell down to the sand. And so it was this whole thing of like, oh my God, how am I going to get all of this stuff from here down to the sand?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like a few things at a time, and I'm bringing the girls and back and forth, back and forth. So you can just imagine the chaos that this is. So after all this, we get there, we set up, I set up the tent, blah, blah, blah. The girls play for an hour and then they're like, I'm hungry or whatever. So we needed to go home. So I packed everything up. And after I packed everything up, Elle was exhausted from playing in the water and the sun and everything. She's like, I want to ride in the wagon. And I was like, all right, that's fine. Like, hop in the wagon and with all this stuff. And Cece's like, I don't want to walk. And I'm like, all right, fine. I'll carry you. So I'm carrying CZ and pulling Elle through the sand. You know how hard it is to pull wheeled vehicles through the sand. Yeah. Even though this one was made for the beach. And it's just so heavy. And I'm like pulling it and carrying CZ. But I'm doing it. I'm like, I got this. The sidewalk's not too far. And I'm almost there. And this gentleman comes up. He's probably in his 60s, looked like a grandpa type, very fit. Mm-hmm. And he was sitting with his family. They had smartly chosen to set up like right by the sidewalk, like not even anywhere near the water. Like they just set up right there. Like they weren't doing any walking across the sand. But he saw me. He's like, oh, do you need help? And I'm like, okay, sure. And so he starts pulling the wagon and then he starts making comments. He's like, huh, you really got your hands full there, huh? And I'm like, yep, sure do. And then he looks at Elle and he's like, why don't you get out and help your mom? And I'm like, dude, don't say like something to my kid. Like, you don't know why she's riding. Maybe she had a busted ankle. Maybe, who knows? Maybe she's disabled. You don't know why she's riding in the wagon. Yeah, so it was just felt very judgmental, but I was going with it because he was being very helpful. And we got to the sidewalk and it was a little bit easier. I was starting to unload and get ready to go up the steps. And he like goes back over to his family who's sitting like 6 steps away. And he starts commenting to them. He's like, gosh, she's a big girl. She could have gotten out and walked. And God, she has so much stuff. Look at all that stuff. And they're like all looking at me. And I felt so embarrassed and like,
what the hell, dude?
Stupid for like, you know, trying so hard to like make a beach day when like these obvious people who live near the beach, like they have nothing, right? They just get to come down and like sit on the sand and they're not burdened by anything. And there's like 15 family members. And here I am like trying to carry everything and pull my lazy kid in a wagon. And oh, I just felt like so embarrassed. And I just wanted to be like, shut up, dude. Like, why do you need to comment on this? Why couldn't you just be helpful and be like, hey, let me help you out with that? So that just really rubbed me the wrong way.
It rubs me the wrong way. I want to go back and like give this man an earful about why he's being stupid and judgmental to my friend. I mean, like, also, it's just so easy to pick on moms, especially when they're alone with their kids. Like, Will, you should be doing it differently. It's like, no, fuck off, dude. Like, I don't know. Maybe he was a perfectly wonderful father and grandfather, and I'm making gross generalizations, but like, he probably was one of those people who like didn't help his wife when she was doing stuff. And he was probably like, how come you need so much crap when you go to the beach? I just mosey on up with my, you know, towel. And it's like, yeah, because I like smooth your whole fucking life out for you, dude. You know, like.
Yeah, he looked like someone who's had a smoothed out life, I think, maybe. And he was nice too, you know, so that's why it's hard for me to like complain about him, because then he like helped me lug up all the shit up those steps. He like carried like the wagon full of crap up there and everything. And I was like, thank you. And then even then at the top of the steps, like he had brought his like 10-year-old grandkid or whatever to come help too. And he's like commenting to the kid. He's like, God, I sure have a lot of stuff. I'm like, you just got to kick me one more time, right? Just one more time. Like,
it's like,
I know, bye.
You know what? I got here by myself. I don't need your help. Like, I hate this whole like, I'm helping so I can make a comment on things. Like, no, just like, if you're going to help, just help.
Yeah.
Don't like make it a help plus a social commentary.
That's all I'm asking. And like, look, I could have done it. Like, I was almost through the sand.
Yeah.
I could have made it up the steps, albeit awkwardly. I was being awkward as fuck, but I was fine. I was doing it. So in a way, his comments and social commentary made me feel worse than just the pure awkwardness, because now it was suddenly like someone was observing my awkwardness.
It reminds me of this one time in Echo Park in my old apartment before I was married, before I had kids. Echo Park is a neighborhood in Los Angeles, and it's like in the middle. It's like very close to downtown LA, and it's like very dense population wise, and that means there's not a lot of parking. And I once had to park, like parallel park my car in a really, really tight spot on Echo Park Avenue, right? And I remember this to this day because I was trying to squeeze into the spot, and a guy in probably his 50s or 60s stopped to watch me and laugh.
Oh my God.
Like he literally stood there on the sidewalk watching me as I did it, not offering to like roll down your window. Let me tell you like when you need to turn. No, just standing there and watching me. And I remember like the fury, you know, like how dare you, you know, like, and there's also just some like subtle gendered shit in there too, because like would they be doing that if it was a guy having trouble parking? Yeah. Like,
let me make sure the lady doesn't bump the other cars or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and also like, would this guy feel comfortable critiquing if you were a dad? You know what I mean? Like, can you imagine him saying these things to Steve?
Oh my God. I mean, maybe he would have been like, hey man, you got your hands full. Haha, keeping you, those girls are keeping you busy. I could see that. But yeah. Ending there.
Yeah. And I feel like you and Steve are like equally capable of dragging a wagon across the sand. You know what I mean? Like, you don't differ so much in strength and stamina that there should be a substantive difference between the two of you. But yeah. Anyway, I'm sorry. That sucks.
Thanks. Anyway, okay. So moving on from that, now that I've talked about it, whew, I can let it go. You are up. What is your they said what?
Okay, mine are all Augie said what.
Okay.
As you know, he's a talker. He's just a really funny little guy. And so he's just been saying so many funny things lately. So I just have to report on them. Let's see. The first one I want to talk about is, this is just a very quick anecdote, but you know, I curse a lot, as you probably realized in the last 5 minutes when I was like telling that guy to fuck off who I've never met. And I'm always like, I drop the F-bomb. I say shit a lot. I say shit a lot, like probably too much. And I have recognized this when I'm around Augie, because I'm like, he is speaking. He is repeating me all the time. Like, but he has yet to repeat me saying like a bad word, quote unquote, or just like a curse word, because we're trying to teach him like there's no bad words. There's just different kinds of words, right? Like, and maybe that's working, right? Because he hasn't picked up on like shit, fuck, any of that stuff yet. But we went to Target recently, and he was in the shopping cart, and we were having the time of our lives, because going to Target is like equivalent of going to Disneyland at this point after like a year and a half of pandemic. And we're going through the aisles, and a man, I don't know, in his 30s or something, just a guy, is pushing a cart, and he's like clearly in a rush, and he tries to go by us, and the wheel of a shopping cart like rams into the edge of the aisle, you know, like the metal divider. And he goes, shit, really loud. And then he goes, oh, sorry. Which is fine, right? Whatever. I would have said the same thing, right? It like startled him. But Augie turned to me and goes, why did the man say shit? And he said it so loud in Target, like everyone heard him and turned to look at him.
And oh, I was like, God, a tiny voice saying shit is the funniest.
But he also like did an impression of the guy. So it was, why did the man say shit?
I also have to point out, I love that he turned it into a why question, because that's also his big thing right now.
That's all he does. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. I mean, it didn't even register for me, but that is exactly what he did. Yeah.
So has he been saying it since?
Mm-mm, nope, that was the only time. So,
oh my gosh.
And I will say that on the same trip to Target, we had another gem, which was also a question, which I didn't realize until you just brought it up, which was, we were going to Target, and as we were walking in, he looked at me and goes, where's the virus?
Oh.
And I was like, what? Uh-huh. What are you talking about? And he goes, is the virus in Target?
Uh-huh.
And I was like, oh, honey, probably.
probably somewhere.
Yeah.
But that's really smart, though. Like, I'm mm-hmm. really impressed by that thinking.
Well, I had been telling him, you know, like, oh, we wear a mask because of the virus, and we, you know, don't go into a lot of stores because of the virus. And then when we started going to more stores, I think that's what he realized. He was like, well, where's the virus? Like, he was like looking for it. Like, you told me the virus was in stores. Like, is the virus in there?
I wonder if our little kids are picturing some kind of creature or physical thing. Like, to them, what do they think a virus is, right? Because to us, it's like invisible germs that make you sick, but we talk about it to them. I wonder what they think it is.
I'm going to have to ask him. Maybe I'll ask him, like, what do you think the virus looks like? And see if he knows. I'll have to ask him.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, those are two Target-related Augie said what? Shauna, do you have another they said what for us?
I do. This is one that Elle said, because she's also random, spontaneous, and hilarious with what she says sometimes. So you know that, like, I have bought body, sex, reproductive type books for my kids. They've been around the house for a long time, and kind of like that I'm introducing them to these concepts early on, so there's nothing awkward about them and everything. So I was very proud the other day when, out of the blue, before bed, Elle was like, when I get older, my body is going to change. And I'm like thinking, that's right. She like has grasped what we're talking about. Like, she knows that she's going to go through puberty and blah, blah, blah. Like, this is so awesome. And I was like, that's right, honey. That's so true. And she goes, yep. When I get older, my nose is going to get long like your nose. Your nose is like boop this. And my nose is just like this. Boop. And I was like, okay.
Yeah, that is the major change that's going to happen when she gets older.
Yeah, yeah. Her nose is, you know, I've really been working hard with teaching her about how her nose is going to change as she grows. It's such a proud mom moment.
You bought her our noses ourselves.
Everyone's got to be prepared for how the nose will change. Yeah. I was like, this, yes, honey, that's right. Your nose will get so big like my nose.
But you know what? She's not wrong.
She's not.
There's something that happens, right? Like, where your nose and your ears get big, like when you're old. I mean, it's really, truly a thing.
Right. Isn't it like they never stop growing or something like that? Is that a
something,
myth?
Something. I don't, that might be a myth. I don't know, but old people have big ears and big noses.
They do. That's going to be us. We're going to be in the big nose club.
Yes, yay. Yes. Did she seem scared or like excited to have a big nose like mama?
Very excited. Very excited. Because my nose is like this, boop, and hers is just like, boop.
You know, when I think of you, the first thing I think of is not like, wow, what a nose. You know what I mean? Like,
I know. That's why I'm just like, okay. But I guess to her, because she's so small, I guess it is.
Yeah.
Bigger.
Like, maybe she'll be like Steve Carell. She'll just have like all nose in her face.
Yeah. Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I mean,
we shall see. When she hits nose puberty.
Something to look forward to.
Yes, yes. All right, do you have another one for us?
Yes, I do. I have another Augie said what. And this is a Halloween-related one, a spooky one. And it's actually spooky, okay?
Ooh, so, even better.
Okay, so I had gone to where else but Target, and I got some of those like little fake tea lights in anticipation of getting some pumpkins to carve. Like, I didn't actually get the pumpkins, but I got the little electric tea lights you can put inside the pumpkins. Mm-hmm. And of course, Augie found them the minute I came home. Like, we didn't even get into the house. Like, he met me on the front porch and he was like, What did you get? This is a different trip to Target. You can pretty much find me at Target every other day at this point.
Clearly.
We have two that are really close to our new house. So it's like so easy to just pop in and get way more stuff than you anticipated. You know, like I need diapers. And then I come out with like a whole cartload of things. So I got these tea lights and he was looking through the bag and he found them and he was like, oh, cool. He's like, what are these? And I was like, oh, they're fake candles. He's like, how do I get them to work? And I showed him how you flip them on. And he's like kind of running around with them. And he walks over to the front door and holds it up to the front door. And he goes, how can I get it to light up? How can I catch it on fire?
Ah, no.
No. That's not even the creepy part yet, right? I was like, no, honey. Well, first of all, that's a fake candle, so you're not going to catch it on fire. And we don't light things on fires. The only things we light on fire are real candles and fireplaces, right? And then we don't play with fire. And he said, but on Halloween, the house lights up. The house catches on fire. And I was like, what? What did you say? And he repeated. He goes, on Halloween, the house catches fire. The house lights up. Why does the house light up? That's what, so everything is a question, of course.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, I don't know what to say. I'm like, the house isn't going to catch fire on Halloween. I hope not. I'm like, why are you saying this with such confidence? What is going on?
Oh my God. I'd be like, get all the fire extinguishers I can find, have them at the ready for Halloween day,
right?
Halloween night. What?
Super creepy.
That's creepy.
And then the next day, we were playing actually in Sebastian's room. And we were just like hanging out in his room and Sebastian was in his crib playing with some toys and Augie was running around like a maniac. And then all of a sudden he stops and he turns to me and he goes, I love fire.
Oh my God.
So.
Oh, you have an arsonist on your hands.
And to be fair, like, he's barely ever seen real fire, right? We don't really light candles. We have a fire pit we never use. Like, I don't even know when he's seen fire. But thinking about it made me realize that he does have a game on his iPad that he plays that is fire truck related. And you can drive the fire truck and then you can put out fires with the fire truck.
Right.
So I think that's where he's getting it from.
Yes.
I hope. And it's not just some psychic prediction.
A psychic prediction or like some past life memory, like a house that went up in flames on Halloween in the 1700s. Creepy.
So this episode comes out the week of Halloween. Listeners, please check in on November 1st to make sure I'm okay.
Yes.
Yes.
It'll be fine. Just have all your hoses ready.
But we're definitely not lighting anything on fire.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Good. Okay. But that was my they said what.
Wow.
Shall we take a break and move on to our BFBs and BFNs?
All right, let's do it. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Shauna, think of all the relationships you have in your life. From parents, siblings, your friends, kids, coworkers, even neighbors. There's a lot of human interaction, which we know doesn't always go perfectly.
Oh, you know I don't have a perfect relationship with my next door neighbor. And I can't change her, but I can work on my own reactions to her and how she treats my family.
Absolutely. Strengthening your own coping skills and setting healthy boundaries in any relationship are important. And therapy can be a great place to work on these types of things.
Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma, although of course it is helpful in those situations too.
I've noticed that doing weekly therapy helps me handle the things that cause overwhelm in my life, like constantly balancing kids, work, and self-care.
I love that therapy helps me have insights about myself that I might not have otherwise. It's always great to get an objective take on what I'm going through.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Become your own soulmate, whether you're looking for one or not. Visit BetterHelp.com/BFP today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/BFP. Hey, listeners. This episode is proudly brought to you by L'Olivie, an award-winning hair care line founded by the fabulous Jennifer Aniston. You know, hair so iconic, it needs no introduction.
Okay, imagine this. Jen got tired of the same old struggle we all face, choosing between hair products that work and ones that are actually good for us. With L'Olivie, that dilemma is history.
We all put our hair through the wringer. Coloring, heat styling, stress, the list goes on. Over time, it takes a toll. That's why it's crucial to have products that not only repair the look of the damage, but also shield your locks from future harm.
Enter L'Olivie's bestsellers, the cult classic Glossing Detangler and Perfecting Leave-In Conditioner. These aren't just styling products, they're your hair's new best friends.
And here's a treat for you listeners. For a limited time, you get an exclusive 15% off your entire order at lolavie.com. Just use code BFP at checkout. I have been using the Glossing Detangler and Leave-In Conditioner, and I love them. I love how soft and healthy my hair feels after using them.
I love their restorative shampoo and conditioner plus intensive repair treatment. They smell so good, make my shower feel like a spa, and never leave my hair looking or feeling dry.
L'Olivie's products are naturally derived in plant-based goodness. No silicone, sulfates, parabens, or gluten, and of course, cruelty-free and vegan.
Unlock Jennifer Aniston-approved hair at L'Olivie.com. As our loyal listeners, you'll get an exclusive 15% off your entire order when you use code BFP at checkout.
That's 15% off your order at LOLAVIE.com with promo code BFP. Please note, you can only use one promo code per order and discounts can't be combined.
After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that we sent you.
We are back and we're going to wrap it up with our weekly BFPs or BFNs. Laura, you're up first. What do you got for us?
I have a BFP.
All right.
And my BFP this week is a do-it-yourself calming jar.
Okay. I've never heard of this. Tell us more.
Ooh. Ooh, I'm so excited to tell you about it. I thought for sure you would know about calming jars.
Mm-mm.
Okay. So this is some Pinterest mom shit that I found. it's like... Basically, you fill up a water bottle, a plastic water bottle with the label taken off, and you fill it up with like a mixture of things that makes like water and either like glue or I used glycerin because I just happen to have vegetable glycerin around because I have random craft shit in my house. Or, you know, there's all these recipes online like or like corn syrup, like anything that's like thick and viscous. So you fill up this water bottle with some kind of thick viscous liquid, and then you add a bunch of glitter and some like food dye drops. Okay. And then you seal the top with super glue so it can't come off. And then you have this really cool little jar that like the glitter swirls around and takes a really long time to settle. I put like two different kinds of glitter in, like a thicker glitter and a thinner glitter. And it's so cool. And like the idea is, it's a thing you can like hand to your toddler if they're having like a hard time regulating their feelings, and you can like flip it over and be like, let's take some deep breaths while we like look at the calming jar, or like go hang out in your playroom with the calming jar. And like maybe it's just like mesmerizing your children, but it's working. I'm really enjoying it. So
that's cool. Does he enjoy it? Because I imagine handing it to my girls and them just chucking it across the room.
So yes. It is mesmerizing. Like, there's no other word for it because the way that it swirls around, you just like, can't look away. It's unpredictable and it looks like a big storm inside. I'll take a video and send it to you because it's really, really cool. But not only is it great for Augie, who, like, to be fair, like, he doesn't do great with taking, like, the deep breaths and stuff, but he does like looking at it. But it's turning out to be a really great thing for Sebastian. Last night, we were having dinner, and Augie was refusing to eat pasta. He was refusing to eat pasta with red sauce. I'm like,
goodness.
Dude. Right? And it was because he was like overtired and over hungry. And he just wanted to like, he wanted to have a dance party. And I was like, oh, for fuck's sake. It's just like, eat your pasta. I made pasta for you. Uh-huh. And meanwhile, Sebastian's done with like his purees or whatever. And he's sitting there getting impatient. And Corey took the calming jar, which just happened to be on the table, and flipped it over in front of Sebastian. And he was like rapt.
Really?
Yes. And so Corey just kept flipping it over every couple minutes so that Sebastian could watch it while we tried to like have a calm dinner. Uh-huh. So highly recommend a DIY calming jar. You can just Google like recipes for it. It's really kind of foolproof, I think. And yeah, I'll post a video of mine on our Instagram. Maybe with Sebastian zoning out watching it.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. Well, I want to try that because if anyone in this house needs it, I need it. I want to look at mesmerizing glitter.
And it was a fun, very quick craft project. Like I was going to do it with Augie, but then I just decided like do it while he's at school. And it was nice to do something for myself and play with glitter. So, yeah. So that's my BFP. Shauna, how about you? Do you have a BFP or a BFN?
I have a BFP also.
Yay.
Yay. My BFP is Fridays. Not the restaurant. The day of the week.
Gotcha.
Which, who doesn't love Fridays?
Once again, proving that you are Garfield.
I hate Mondays. Okay, I am Garfield. So Fridays.
Okay.
In our house, ever since the pandemic started and Al quit school, preschool, and all that jazz, and we were home for infinite amounts of time, I was always looking for ways to celebrate or make things interesting or different or special. And one of the things that popped up for us was Fridays. I'm not even sure why or when exactly it started. Probably about a year ago, I just was like, in my mind, I was like, Friday mornings are going to be a tradition for us. In my house growing up, I remember vaguely Fridays being like the day we got to eat waffles, like frozen waffles, right? Waffle day. Yay. Loved it. And so during the pandemic, I was like, it's Friday, girls. Here's what we're going to do. And I just made up some traditions that sounded fun. First of all, we eat cinnamon rolls every Friday. Ooh. I make cinnamon rolls, which everybody loves. I have made them from scratch. I did do that during the pandemic when cinnamon rolls were out of stock for some reason. They're back in stock now. So I just make the, you know, refrigerated pre-made kind, but they're very good. So we have a breakfast with cinnamon rolls and eggs, and the girls play the song Friday by Rebecca Black in our living room, very loud.
Classic, yeah.
Yep, they know that song. They know all the words and everything.
Partying, partying.
Yeah, exactly. And it's the day of the week where they are allowed to watch TV, a little bit of TV time or screen time in the morning. They don't get to do that any other day of the week. Like, we try to limit screen time. We're not the best at it, but we do try to limit it in the morning. And Friday is like the day where they can come and like jump into bed with me and like we watch TV together and snuggle and watch a show for a little bit. And then I get up and make cinnamon rolls. We listen to Rebecca Black. And it's fun. And they just get so excited about Friday. Like, if it's Thursday night and I'm putting Cece to bed, I'm like, you know what tomorrow is? And she's like, Friday. I'm like, yep, it's Friday. She's like, Friday, Friday. And everyone gets very excited about Friday.
Oh, that's fun. I need to do something like that because I feel like even though the pandemic's, you know, different, I'm going to Target now. That's Augie's going to school. It just still feels like this amorphous blob of time.
Yeah.
And when you live in LA and the weather doesn't really change that much, you can't tell, like, what even season are we in?
I know.
Did I ever tell you about that one time where, this is, you know, before marriage and kids and stuff, I was, like, driving down the 101 freeway and I was like driving through Hollywood and the sun hit me just right. And I was like, oh my God, it's almost Halloween. I need to come up with a costume because like the way the sun hit, it felt like fall. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, wait, it's March. Like, but when you live here, there's no external indicators or there's very few external indicators of what season you're in. So it's like, yep, you can forget that it's March and not October.
Yes, it's so true.
Yeah. Yeah. So, oh, that's fun. Friday. Do you have like, it, you just call it Friday? You, there's not, it's not like Friday Fun Day or anything?
No, it's just Friday. Friday. Yeah.
Friday, yay.
Yeah. Because the fun ends after breakfast, really. I mean, then the rest of the day is just kind of normal.
Kids, the fun ends after breakfast.
Yeah, Elle goes off to school and we go to work and everything, but we get to have the fun morning together, and it's, yeah, it's something to look forward to every week. And the older I get, and especially now that I have kids, I really realize that anything can be a tradition if you do it repeatedly. So I just kind of picked some fun things and just really make sure we do them over and over again. And then suddenly it becomes something special and to look forward to. And,
that's also the nice thing about being an adult is you just get to make shit up. And it's like your family tradition. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of fun.
Well, that sounds great. I might try to do the same thing, although maybe I'll do like Tuesday. Like, we should just have Tuesday be more fun, right?
Yeah, like, why not?
Why not? Tuesday! Yes.
Tuesday!
I'll check in about Tuesday!
Sounds like a plan. Until then, I think that's the end of our episodes. We should probably wrap it up.
Yes, we should.
Listeners, do you have any They Said Whats that you want to share with us? We always love hearing yours. People send us their They Said Whats all the time and just love hearing what you've gone through and what people have said to you. So send them our way. Laura, where can they reach us?
We are on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok at BFP Podcast. We also have a website, BigFatPositivePodcast.com. If you want to send us an email, you can always include a voice memo in that email. Just send it to contact@BigFatPositivePodcast.com. And you know you want to do it. You want to join our super cool community. Just search Facebook for Big Fat Positive Community, request to join, and answer those two membership questions so I know you're not a robot. And then you'll get to participate in some of the best discussions on the internet, in my opinion, in our Facebook group.
Agreed. And if you love our show, please spread the word, let your friends know about Big Fat Positive, and leave us a rating or review wherever you listen. Our show is produced by Laura Bierick, Shauna Maiko, and Steve Yeager. Thanks for listening, everyone. Happy Halloween!
Happy Halloween!
That didn't sound spooky. We tried, but we're not very spooky people, are we?
I don't know what you're talking about. I'm spooky as shit. Can you say, it's spooky?
It's spooky.